Hello and welcome to Politically Enraged, a commonsensical podcast for discussion about the utter insanity of British politics and politics further afield. Hope you enjoy the episode. Hello everyone and welcome to Politically Enraged, although I'm on the verge of turning the podcast name into Politically Deranged because I genuinely feel like I'm being driven to the very edges of sanity by the people that are still somehow clinging desperately onto the main echelons of power in this country. So as we've all seen, it's just been the Tory conference and the usual madness was actually on steroids while they were there. There's nothing quite like watching our Prime Minister take a helicopter up north so he can go to the conference that's in Manchester just so that he can step on stage to casually announce that they're scrapping one of the main things they were going to do to improve the infrastructure of the north. And I genuinely wish that that was the weirdest thing that happened. Like, imagine coming all the way up north to be like, hi everyone, nice to see you. We're not going to help any of the infrastructure or the opportunities for you guys up here to improve. So, the weirdest thing, if you ask me, is the fact that we've now reached such a point where political lying has been normalised that they're literally standing at the microphone and fully lying. And I wish I was exaggerating. So the Energy Secretary and Net Zero Secretary is called Claire Catino. And Claire Catino decided to get up on stage at the Tory conference and say, Keir Starmer's relaxed about taxing meat because he doesn't eat it. And then a weird anti-Semitic thing about Ed Miliband. And she was actually called out on this by Sophie Ridge, who didn't question the inherently weird anti-Semitic dog whistle that she said. But she was very keen to say, well, Keir Starmer's not doing a meat tax. To which Claire Catino said, well, it's when Labour's bad, it's not good. No, because, and Sophie Ridge said, yeah, but they're not going to do that, are they? To which Claire Catino floundered publicly, refusing to answer the question like an absolute dilettante. Now, in isolation, this is bad enough. We have a politician who's going on stage at a national conference, which is advertised and on TV, and everyone can watch it and see it. And she lied. She lied about policy. Now, I don't expect full honesty from politicians. I just don't. It's just the nature of who they are as people and their jobs. But to actually get on stage and have to lie to other members of your party to convince yourself that you're on the right team is a level of delulu that I genuinely did not expect from these people, no matter how low they sunk. I did expect them to stay grounded in some semblance of reality, but they don't. And it's not only that they don't stay grounded in any semblance of reality, but that they're actively partaking in lying and then refusing to correct themselves on it. I have very little respect for journalists in this country because they don't seem to be able to hold the Tories to any level of account. But when it comes to the fact that Sophie Ridge repeatedly said, they're not doing a meat tax, are they? And she just waffled about something else. And then she said, they're not doing a meat tax, are they? Keir Starmer's not going to implement a meat tax. The fact that this woman just kept diverting away from the point just showed how in contempt they actually hold the British people. And I'm not just talking about lefties like me. I'm talking about their own voter base. Like, they're lying to you about what the other team will do because they're so bereft of policy that they don't have anything to offer except crap. But I mean, really, what can we expect from this iteration of politics now? If you think about that, right? Okay, so we've got Claire Catino lying at conference. Then recently we had, I can't remember the name of the politician, but she was heavily involved in being part of the Office of Environment, and she had shares in Shell, which she forgot to declare. We've had Rishi Sunak making up policy almost on the spot. I'm going to scrap the policy of you having to hand-rear goats and then feed them into the mouths of lions. This policy, I've scrapped it. This is also the Prime Minister who, for the second time in less than 2 years, was caught on camera breaking the law. And his initial line of defence was, it's not illegal to be in a moving car without a seatbelt on. And of course, we've got the Home Secretary who, I wasn't trying to get out of doing a course for speeding. I just wanted to not be in public doing it. You've got Andrew Bridgen, who has literally vomited out easily debunkable nonsense about vaccinations and about lockdowns and about masks over and over and over again, to the point where he's been kicked out of his party, but still keeps saying it. Not only saying it, but going on TV and saying it to a bunch of people that continue to believe it, despite the ever-increasing burden of evidence to the contrary. Let's skip a little bit further back in time to this time last year when Liz Truss was in charge of the Conservatives, and how many headlines did we read from people like Isabel Oakeshott and all of those other right-wing pundits saying, finally, finally, a Conservative budget from a Conservative Prime Minister. And what did that Conservative budget do? Melted everything to the ground, fucked people's mortgage rates, put rent into greater precarity than it was before, and meant that the Bank of England had to bail us out to the tune of 20 billion in gilt. And what's Liz Truss's defence?
It was a good policy, but at the wrong time.
So right. I just want to tell you something, right? If I had a really good idea at work, but I did it at the wrong time, I would still get punished, okay? The wrong time is actually not a good defence for not doing something. Especially when what you do is hold a blowtorch to the nipples of the country's economy. Genuinely, you know, like if I got into a relationship and I turned around after 5 minutes and went, will you marry me? Do you think the person would be like, innocent mistake, if I just got the timing wrong? Or would they go, psycho? But again, you know, let's skip back a bit further and see if we can figure out where this political line comes from. Let's look at Boris Johnson. I think it's pretty demonstrable that he's a bit of a liar, isn't it?
Of course I didn't go to any Downing Street parties. Well, I did go, but I didn't know it was a party. Oh, well, I knew it was a party. I didn't know parties were illegal.
This is a man who doesn't even know how many children he has. A man who decided to park someone else while his wife was having cancer treatments. Elsewhere in the government, we've got Matt Hancock.
I didn't mean to fall in love with my friend that I hired using public money to work in my offices during COVID.
Didn't you? Oh, bloody hell. All right, we'll just forgive you then. We'll forgive you for the fact that you were in charge of the collective decisions affecting the health of every single person in the nation, and you were too busy riding bareback to actually think about us. It's totally fine. Also, I just want to apologise for the fact that I just mentioned Matt Hancock and bareback in the same sentence. It doesn't end there, though. Let's not forget one of the reasons that we ended up in such a shit place with Boris Johnson. Because Brexit. He got Brexit done. I'll give that to him. He did what he said. He got Brexit done. Not going so well, though, is it? Turns out that when you make a deal, the whole time knowing that you're going to want to change it, the whole time knowing you don't believe a single bit of it, like David Frost has repeatedly said, we wanted to make the deal and then immediately start changing it, and the EU wouldn't let us. What, really? They're holding you to the terms of the decisions that you made? How dare those EU bastards? I mean, you know, everyone, you know, if you read Pete Robon and stuff, they always attribute political lying to things like Boris Johnson purely, but it's not just that. Theresa May...
I'm desperate to make sure that we get Brexit done in a way that pleases everybody.
Except you never actually thought about the, like, 49% of people, 48% of people that voted Remain, did you? It was specifically to please the ardent 52%. Like, this side, you know, annoying as we are for pointing out all the things that keep going wrong that we always said would happen, we never murdered anyone. Unlike the Brexiteer side. My local MP, shot to death. Purely because she didn't want the UK to leave the EU. Yeah, okay. I wonder why you guys were so bothered about appeasing basically people that aligned with terrorists. But let's not forget, May, an ex-Remainer. Johnson, an ex-Remainer. Liz Truss, an ex-Remainer. Liz Truss attributes her downfall to the interference of a leftist cabal. Do you think if there was a leftist cabal out there that was determined to sabotage the Conservatives, they'd have to do anything other than sit in a chair and watch? Because to me, as a sneaky lefty, I don't have to do shit to make this government look bad, other than just wind them up and watch them go. This weird normalisation of political lying in the UK is absolutely deranged, unhinged. It's just nothing beyond what I expected. Because I just knew how far we were going to go. But what worries me is not how far we are, but how lackadaisical people are in this country about it. It's absolutely obscene that at this point we are not up in absolute arms. And I know that people don't quite necessarily feel the pressures of the cost of living crisis like we were starting to this time last year and then on into the new year. But the normalisation of this lying, just this constant barrage of nonsense, it's like less than a week since Rishi Sunak went on national TV and literally stood there and bald-faced lied to us about policy that he was getting rid of for our own good.
I won't implement the policy of stabbing your neighbour if they do three turns in the garage.
Like, it was that level of insanity. And people are just like,
that's all politicians, isn't it?
It doesn't have to be. Like, why are we not protesting for politicians to stop lying? I have a list in my head as long as my fucking arms, and they are quite long, by the way, I'm quite gangly, of all of the lies that politicians have told. At what point do we go, this isn't normal and right, and maybe we should start actually demanding punishment of these people for lying to us? How about that? Actually do something. It'd be really good, wouldn't it? The problem is, there's this kind of, like, just myopic viewpoint that everybody in the UK takes, that this is how it is. But that's because we accept it, you know? The second someone says, well, politicians are like that, that's because of people like you with this fucking normalised viewpoint. To take the, you know, an oppositional side, because at least someone can in the UK, the way that Starmer, you know, like, oh yeah, when I get in, I'm going to do all these things. Oh, well, I've had to take those things back because of the state the Tories have left things in. That is such a weak position to take. Okay, so you made these promises, and then the Tories did bad things, and you can't do anything to get us back to the point where you promised things would go. That doesn't just say to me that the Tories are bad, because I already know the Tories are bad. It says that you're weak, and you can't do things to maintain the promises that you make. You should have been thinking about how to make these promises and maintain them, no matter what happened. And if you can't do that, I don't think you're a particularly skilled politician, you know? This isn't about just getting at Keir Starmer, though. I absolutely believe that he's cut from the same cloth as Conservatives. I hate people who, you know, just consistently bombard me with he's a red Tory, blah, blah, blah. I understand where those things come from, but I think that I've been saying recently, I kind of understand why Starmer's in the position he's in and doing the thing that he's doing. I don't approve of it. I really hate it. But I think that we need to look at the kind of the whole political miasma to understand why Starmer's doing what he's doing, for right or wrong. The point for me isn't just about one politician, one team lying. It's about politicians in the UK being so comfortable lying to our faces. It's embarrassing. You know, when you watch these interviews with these people, these are our elected representatives. And if a person, if a member of the public turns around and says, hello, I would like you to answer this question about your policy. If you turn around and start going, oh, well, Keir Starmer's meat tax and the woke people, like, how do you expect to be taken seriously? How do you expect us to think that you're capable when that's your response to serious questions about policy, positions, the plight of the UK people? There's also this other woman that was at the Conservative Party who, you might have seen the clip of her. She's wearing a Tory scum badge and she's going, I was given this by Jenna Davidson and I'm reclaiming the slur of Tory scum, because it's not fair that people will come at us and they'll level all these accusations of homophobia and racism and sexism and misogyny, all this stuff at us just because of our political party. And I'm here to tell you that actually people are fine to do that, because whether you believe those things or not is immaterial, right? If you are not racist, homophobic, if you don't hate women, you are part of a party that's made that their backbone. And this isn't just me making supposition. It's been 8 years since the Tory confirmed that they would ban conversion therapy. Nearly nine, and they haven't done it. Rishi Sunak, in the space of 2 weeks, banned a dog breed because children were getting hurt. Imagine how many tens of thousands of children have faced misery because of conversion therapy. There are no good outcomes to conversion therapy. There aren't any. When it comes to racism, the Home Secretary recently celebrated enforcing legislation that means that police officers, who we know because of multiple reports to be systemically corrupt, can use disproportionate force on people of colour. Because she's enforcing legislation that means that they can stop people just based on suspicion. And they can violate their rights just based on suspicion. And it's proven through statistics that this disproportionately negatively affects people of colour. When it comes to women, let's look at the fact that earlier this year, we had a government sit down and go, I'm not making misogyny a hate crime. Why would we do that? Look, if you look here, it might make trans people actually a bit happier because it'll protect them too. Nope, no protection. Then, later on that same year, sat down and went, you know how women and people that have periods, they suffer these issues. I don't want to protect those. I don't want to make it easier for people with those issues to work. But you know, I'm dealing with menopause myself right now. It's, fuck it. Like, if I can get on with it, everyone can. Because everybody's the same. I'm not being funny, but if you're an unfeeling automaton, I'm sure you can get through menopause without being concerned. But some people are actual human beings. This idea that you can partake in political lying that you can stand on a stage and lie to your own colleagues and to the nation through the magic of TV and still be considered a good person or a decent politician is garbage. But to say that you can be part of a party that backs these things but not have the blood on your hands is ridiculous. You back the Conservatives, even at this juncture, even after all the economic damage that they've caused, proving that any of their policies to do with the economy are shite. And you back them in terms of all of that they're doing culture war-wise. And yet you don't want that association. It's insane. These people are just insane. Conservatism is cancer in my eyes. It's just absolutely bizarre that this is where we're at. That politicians can go onto a national stage. Politicians can sit in front of cameras and lie to us and try and pull out ridiculous defences or deny their direct connection to oppressive thoughts or legislation. It's absolutely obscene that this is where we're at. And so many people in the UK just fully think it's normal. Some people think it's funny. And don't get me wrong, the obscenity of it certainly, you know, I laughed so hard at the woman yesterday that was saying she was reclaiming Tory scum. She was using language like I would use about slurs about gay people to describe not wanting to be offended because people are calling her scum because she believes in a party that has done nothing but harm us for years. No. But most severe of all, these people will literally, they'll get on a stage, they'll get on a national stage in front of all of their colleagues and they'll lie about policy. They'll lie about we're going to abolish this or they'll lie about Labour are going to do that. If you have to feed into this open pool of lying to try and legitimise yourself as the right team, maybe that's the point you need to question your ideology. And that's the problem as well. Conservatism is the problem, this ideology, right? I've explained this quite extensively recently. Conservatism as an ideology is quite an old concept and it's been in the UK for a very long time. We've seen it through successive governments, including Tony Blair's government had heavy elements of conservatism in his policy. I won't even get into the Margaret Thatcher said that he was her greatest success thing. Ultimately, the issue that we face in the UK is we are ideologically welded to conservatism regardless of who's in government. And as conservatism doesn't age, because one of its own key tenets is don't change too quick, stay with the times, keep things the same, that is going to become a failing brand of politics. And it's reached that critical mass of failure now. But we still are only being offered conservatism. I talk about this till I'm blue in the face. But you can see how that increasing failure of conservatism leads to these politicians standing before us and lying to our faces. It doesn't matter who it is. It doesn't matter if it's Andrea Jenkins going on the news the other day with Ash Sarkar and being like, oh, Liz Truss's economic plans were proven right, actually. Lie. Look what it did to us. Or Boris Johnson. Lie. Rishi Sunak. Lie. Liz Truss. Lie. These people just lie to us. And then the opposition as well, because they feed into key tenets of conservatism as the ideology that they may well want to offer us when they're in power, or at least be perceived to, because they know that it's a vote winner. We have to wonder whether they're telling us the truth. I have a bunch of people saying, well, I don't believe what Starmer's saying. I think he's going to be different when he gets into power. So are you okay with him lying to you? That's not normal. Or people saying, I think he's telling the truth, but I think that he has no choice. If that's where our politics has gotten us, why are you not slamming the brakes on? Why are we not collectively slamming the brakes on and saying, if we can only see people attain power by lying to us about what they'll do, lying to us about what they won't do, why do we not see that as a massive red flag, collectively as a country? Ultimately, the longer things go on, don't get me wrong, people that continue to back the Conservatives now and everybody that's like, Reform UK, and all of those people, I have no respect or time for. Like, the people that believe in Reform UK are insane. I've read Reform UK's policies. I've read what it is they want to offer. It's all a pipe dream, right? If you sit down and actually read the Reform UK's website and what they're proposing, literally, one of their things about the NHS is, oh, we're going to abolish waiting lists. No more waiting lists. But they don't give a plan. They just said, we're just going to say they don't exist. Like, what? How's that going to work as a policy? We're going to abolish woke stuff from schools. Okay. Define what that is, though, because it, like, what are you talking about there? Are you talking about telling young girls that they'll have periods, or are you talking about just mentioning trans and gay people? Like, what constitutes woke? You can't just say we're going to abolish woke in school. It's like saying I'm going to abolish cheese in sandwiches. The fuck are you talking about, you absolute lunatics? They have no platform. And this idea that they'll get us down to zero net migration. Go for it then. Because all y'all are older than me. All you fucking Reform UK voters, you're all older than me. Good luck in 15, 20 years when you're in hospital and there's no nurses. You're in a care home, there's no carers. Good luck. Do it. But we're at the point where people just stand and lie. And it's not even that they lie. They just believe in fairy tales. Literally, politics in the UK for me has become like religion. And I don't mean to insult religious people. I am a staunch atheist. But genuinely, you have to understand that from my perspective, people walk around all day and they're like, I believe in a magic person in the sky that makes things happen. And they know everything. And that kind of weird, just like tacit acceptance of thinking seems to have spread to politics now, where a politician like Rishi Sunak will stand up and be like, we're going to abolish all these targets to meet net zero, but we're still going to do it. And it's like, how? And Sunak's like, you woke people questioning me. Where we're at in this space in UK politics right now, it's so just unrelentingly dangerous because there's no sense and truth anymore. I don't know what the truth is from our politicians. The amount of research you have to do to actually stay politically literate is insane because they'll come out with a policy that might sound, I mean, the Tories don't, but they'll come out like Labour might propose a policy that sounds sensible and you look it up and you're like, how are you going to fund that? It's cancerous where we're at the minute because just everything is, you just have to question everything. And of course you should do that anyway, critical thinking and all that. But you shouldn't have to dig into the meat of every single statement a politician makes, because that's not healthy. These people are our elected representatives, and they're either lying to us, or as I saw this morning, Priti Patel on her way to the conference being asked questions and saying, well, I don't want to talk to you. You are a public fucking servant. Who the fuck do you think you are to say that you don't want to talk to journalists about your positions on policy? You fucking, what do you think you paid for? The fact is that we've just normalised a very unhealthy atmosphere in the UK where we think that it's acceptable for politicians to turn up to interviews and say, I don't know about that. Why are you there then? Donate your fee for going on the news to discuss this issue to a charity if you have come on and you don't know what you're talking about. Or we'll accept it when they do things exactly like that Sophie Ridge interview where she's asked, so you weren't telling the truth about this policy that you said Labour are going to do. And they're like, listen, so and then they just back themselves into a corner. Like, first of all, you're not good at public speaking, which you need to be if you're a politician. And secondly, if you're caught in a lie, the decent and honest thing to do is to say, yeah, I did say that and it isn't the truth and I shouldn't have said it because it wasn't verified and I can only apologise. I don't want to mislead people. Like, you know, if the Tories did that, I'd have some semblance of respect for them, even if I don't like their politics, but they won't. And they double down, and it's nonsense. And I tell you, I really want people to understand. I don't like this coming from anyone. Watching Keir Starmer on LVC a few weeks ago, and he's like,
we're going to fund the NHS using technology, as well as funding, obviously.
It's like, how are you going to pay for the technology, Keir? You're going to get people to clap. Is that what you're going to do? Just stop lying. You need money. You need money to implement technology. You need money to hire staff. You need money to train people. It's fine to say that, Keir. And Sunak on the news yesterday. Oh, I love cutting taxes for people. Your government implemented 15 successive tax raises. You are going to finish your tenure in office as a high tax government. Oh, we're the party of law and order. You've been caught breaking the law on camera twice. Boris Johnson was caught once. Matt Hancock was caught breaking either the law or the guidance or whatever the fuck it is that he broke on camera. He was caught in breach of the tenure stuff for contracts, the VIP stuff. Just the, like how we live, we exist in a state of cognitive dissonance and it needs to be over, and it's not. It's not just unique to the Tories. They are absolutely the worst exponents of it. They are awful. But this has to stop wholesale. This is why people like me are desperate for a bigger change in government than just handing over to Labour. Because until they get themselves back on the path of the straight and narrow, until they answer questions honestly and forthright, it's all irritating. I don't want to hear lies from politicians, regardless of what colour they are. In terms of their tie, obviously. I think the biggest problem overall, though, is the lack of realisation from just normal British people of how far off the beaten track we are. that politicians will go to their national conferences and they will stand on national platforms on the news, or they'll go on interviews, they'll go on Laura Kay's podcast, or they'll go on the news agents, or they'll speak to people in the street, and they will just unabashedly lie to us. It's the fact that this happens just all day, every day now, just blows my mind. I never liked Conservatives, but I remember, you know, like vaguely remember the days before Tony Blair, and then I remember like Tony Blair being in office. And I might not have liked the politics that was coming out of the government and particular parts of it, but I certainly was like, at least they're telling the truth, you know? We don't even have that now. But the biggest problem that we need to acknowledge, and this is the biggest issue of all, is if we continue to normalise political lying, we are never going to know what we're voting for, so it's always going to be a stab in the dark. And when you're asked to trust politicians that have a demonstrable record of falsitudes and lying and obfuscating, not answering questions, how the fuck do we know what we're voting for? They can set it down in a manifesto, but if they're lying to our faces on TV, how are we supposed to trust what's in the manifesto? These things are only going to get worse, and British people as a collective, as a whole, need to wake up. And we need to demand honesty and demand that these people that we pay with our tax money tell us the truth. I don't care about tie colour. I don't care about camp. I don't care about what ideology they believe in. I don't care. I care about political honesty. And if we can't even get that from our elected representatives, that is a problem.